Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. And as always, if you're listening for the first time, welcome, and we're so happy that you're here. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again. As I mentioned in the first half of this episode, we will be looking at the lectionary texts assigned for this week, the week of June 26th. And the lectionary texts are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and the Gospels. This episode is split into two parts, and in this second part, we'll be talking about the New Testament readings from Galatians and the Gospel of Luke. In the first reading from the first part of the episode, from 1 Kings, we see Elisha being called by the prophet Elijah. And in this first half of this episode, we talked about the ways in which God calls us and how our relationship with God affects and shapes those calls. And I talked a little bit about my own call story and how I wish it was a little more dramatic or there was a specific moment that I could point to. I have friends who have always known where God was calling them from a very early age, and others who didn't discern that call until later in life. For me personally, my sense of call has changed and expanded throughout my life, and I try to remember that God is present in my call and my vocation no matter how stubborn I might be feeling about what I'm being called to do, or no matter how I'm feeling about life in general. Maybe I feel like I'm not doing God's work. Maybe I feel like I am just not in the place I'm supposed to be, and yet when I stop and think about it, I remember and I know that God is with me, that God is leading me, that God is calling me, that God will work in my life no matter what I am doing, no matter where I am. And I'm excited to get started with you today to talk about God's call, to talk about God's word. But first, we do have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from the book of Galatians. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we will be discussing today is from the 5th chapter of Galatians, verses 1 and 13 through 25. Paul writes, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposite to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposite to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit." These verses are part of a semi-continuous narrative that we've been reading for the past few weeks. We don't read through the entire letter to the Galatians, but each week we read a little bit more and we get a better understanding of what Paul is trying to convey. In fact, if you listened last week, you'll notice that we were in chapter 3 and this week we jumped to chapter 5. So the lectionary does not lead us through the entire book, but it does give us an overarching picture of that book of Galatians, that letter that Paul writes to the community, the Galatian community. And the first verse for this text, the first verse of chapter 5, and for our text this morning, or this week, I apologize, includes a reiteration of the theme of Paul's letter to the Galatians. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And then verses 13 through 25 set out the nature, the meaning, and the parameters of freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free, which might not make much sense. What does that mean? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, the commentary for these passages on one of the sites that I read was written these past few weeks of the Galatians texts were written by Alicia Vargas, who was one of my professors at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary. And I'm just enough of a dork to be like, oh, hey, I know her. She was my professor. Look, she's writing this commentary this week. So mostly I say that to acknowledge that she is the person that wrote the commentary from which I am taking some of what I'm saying this morning or this week. Why do I keep saying morning? But also to say, hey, I know her. And to show you that I am a bit of a biblical nerd, theological dork. I don't know. Anyway, Dr. Vargas writes, now Paul sets parameters to this freedom. It is not freedom for self-indulgence, or in Greek, the flesh, but rather through love become slaves to one another. Freedom from the requirements of the law does not constitute as anything goes freedom. It still has constraints. The constraints are the responsibility and commitment to the welfare of others in the community. While Paul had invoked the social reality of slavery to help describe in chapter 3, verse 28, the new life in the new community in Christ, saying that in the Christian community there is no longer slave or free, he does not now hesitate to use this same language positively, recycled, reimagined, repurposed, reused, here, to describe the relationship and mutual commitment of the members of the community to one another. In the same way, Paul describes himself as a slave of Christ in Galatians. So we've been set free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And Paul is trying to describe this to us, that being in community means that we are free, but we're also free to do God's will. We're free to be in service to each other. Which sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But Paul describes himself again as a slave of Christ in Galatians 1:10. And if you're uncomfortable with slave language, I completely understand. You can think of it more as servant or someone who is in service. The whole law, Paul writes, is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this is why Paul claims that we are to be slaves or servants to each other. Paul goes on to write about how we are to live by the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. And there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of debate, a lot of commentary on the flesh. You know, there some people use these passages to denigrate our physical bodies, that we're supposed to be spiritual beings. That can lead to a lot of body shaming. It can lead to a lot of, you know, our bodies are temporary. Why should we care? But that's not really what Paul is writing about here. He's writing more about, as it said above, flesh meaning, you know, self-indulgences. So it's juxtaposing flesh and spirit, this more earthly sense as the most spiritual sense. So don't think of it as your actual flesh. Don't think that Paul is writing anything against your body. You should love your body. God gave you that body and you should love it no matter what. But Paul gives us lists to understand what things fall under flesh, what things fall under the Spirit. And so the list under flesh: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I like that he just ends with a sort of overarching, and things like these. You know, if it sounds bad, it probably is. But then the list for the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are called the fruits of the Spirit, and you've probably seen lists that include them or those sorts of things. You often see them on artwork or posters or things, just a reminder that the fruits of the Spirit are these things. But when you read these two lists side by side, some ways it's easier to live by the bad habits. You know, there's a reason that habits are hard to break because they get comfortable. I'm not saying just go take the flesh list and go to town. But, you know, I mean, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, sometimes it's just easy. Envy. How often do we find ourselves experiencing any of these actions or emotions? But since we've been talking in this episode about how God calls us, we have to acknowledge that God doesn't call us to live where it's easy. God doesn't call us to stay in that comfort zone, to stay in the bad habits, to say, well, you know, I'm angry and I'm just going to sit here. Because the good ones are too, you know, we can say because the good ones are too difficult to achieve. Oh, I'm never going to be kind or generous or faithful, so why even bother? I'm just going to sit here in my bad habits because it's easier, it's where I'm comfortable, and the other ones are too hard. That's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to love each other as God has loved us. Entire Bible studies and books and all sorts of things have been written on the fruits of the Spirit, and any one of them, any one of those fruits of the Spirit would be the good basis of ministry. If you base your ministry on love, great. If you base your ministry on joy or peace or patience or faithfulness or gentleness, any one would be the perfect basis for a ministry. And yet we are called to all of them. We are called to try and embody each and every one of those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could all live by those every day? If the other ones, the flesh side of the list, the anger, the envy, the jealousy, if we could just banish that from our lives. And of course, we're human, we're not perfect, so those things are going to come into our lives. But we're being called to turn as much as we can more toward the Spirit, more toward the fruits of the Spirit, and try our best to not live within those other habits. Of course, we're going to be angry. Of course, we're sometimes going to be jealous. Of course, we're going to quarrel. But if we try to live by the fruits of the Spirit, we can take that love and joy and kindness and faithfulness to help us through those other times, to help us through the anger, to help us through the quarrels, to help us to live into the Spirit that we're being called to live into God's love. And we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue talking about this text from Galatians, and then we'll be moving on to the gospel reading from the book of Luke. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And like I said, entire Bible studies and books have been written on the fruits of the Spirit. We're called to all of them. And we have been freed in Christ to continue Christ's ministry, and that's not always easy. It's not always easy to follow that call, but if we strive to live by the fruits of the Spirit and we base our ministry on Christ and on God's love, then we have a really good beginning. We have a really solid foundation. We are called to embody the fruits of the Spirit and live into the promises that God has made to us and with us. And we rarely, of course, do this perfectly or even particularly well, because it is so much easier to live into those bad habits, to stay where we're comfortable, to not strive to embody the fruits of the Spirit. It's not always easy to do what is life-giving. It's easy to do what is comfortable and convenient. And it's easy to focus on the works of the flesh because they make us feel good, as opposed to focusing on the works of the Spirit, which direct our attention outward to our brothers and sisters. Notice that the works of the flesh tend to be more, again, self-indulgent, the ones that are about us. I'm angry. I'm jealous of what that person has. I'm going to fight with this person because I am jealous or angry, etc. And the works of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, focus our direction to our brothers and sisters. Joy and kindness and peacefulness focus us outward to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Martin Luther wrote an essay once called Freedom of a Christian, and it talks a lot about what I think Paul is talking about. He writes, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. The Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." So perfectly free and perfectly dutiful, subject to no one, subject to all. And it's a much longer essay, obviously, and it goes into it much more deeply. But in other words, we have been set free in Christ. We are subject to no one because our sins have been forgiven, and we have been given eternal life in the love and promises of God. And yet, what we are then set free to do is to continue Christ's work by being servants to each other. And again, we aren't always perfect at this. In fact, most often we probably get distracted by other things, things that seem important enough that we use them as excuses to put off following Jesus. Then all we can do is give thanks that Jesus went to Jerusalem. Jesus carried out his ministry all the way to Jerusalem and to the cross, not just with us, but also for us. We can give thanks that Jesus became incarnate, that Jesus lived among us as a human so that we might know that nothing separates us from the love of God. Nothing. Those are the promises that Jesus gave us when he became human, when he came and lived among humans, when he turned his face toward Jerusalem, even knowing what awaited him there. And we are called to live in relationship with our brothers and sisters and to live in ways that reflect God's love for them. To reflect God's love for them and for us. So using the fruits of the Spirit as a guideline gives us a good basis for how to do it. And we are reminded by both of the Old Testament texts for this week that we are called and kept by God as we follow where we are led and try to live into our calls as best we can. And this actually leads us to the gospel reading for this week, which, I'm going to be honest, isn't my favorite text, but it does show us another facet of what it means to be called and how being called isn't always easy. It's not always easy to do what we're called to do. So let's go ahead and we're going to read Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the Samaritans did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. And they were going along the road. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But that one said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I just realized that I got a little ahead of myself when I was talking about Galatians, and I was talking about Jesus turning his face toward Jerusalem because I was thinking ahead to this text. But of course, you not being in my head couldn't have known that. So just an explanation as to why I went there without seeming to have a good segue into Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem comes from this text from the gospel for today. And before we jump into this text itself, I've been thinking about bad days at work. I'm sure you've all had them. For instance, when I was a nanny, I was thinking back to days when the baby had a tummy ache and he would just cry and cry, or when the two-year-old was having, you know, two-year-old moments, those days when you just feel like nothing is going right. And that can happen, you know, whether it's you're at home with the kids or you're at work. You know, there are days at work when I feel like every time I answer the phone, it's just one more person calling to yell at me about something or to get angry with me. You know, we all have examples of those days at work where things just don't seem to be going right, where we just want to maybe go home and go back to bed, and it's not the best day. I'm sure you get the idea. I assume you've probably all had days like this, at home, at work, whatever, days that are just not going well. As a preacher, or as a podcaster now in this case, it's days for me when the lectionary gives me texts like this gospel reading and I'm just not sure what to do with it, whether I want to ignore it or whether I want to fix it or whether, I don't know. This isn't how I want to see Jesus. He seems mean and he seems abrupt and it throws me. And I have to remind myself of that first sentence where it says that he turned his face toward Jerusalem. So at this point in Jesus' ministry, he knows what he is doing. He knows that he is going to Jerusalem. He knows that that means facing the cross, facing death. And so he has set his face. He understands the realities of what he has been called to do, of what he has been sent to do. And so maybe, I mean, obviously we have to take that into account. And maybe Jesus is just having one of those days at work. You know, you had to figure he had more than one of them, where he knows what he has to do, he's got his face set towards it, but nothing at work, nothing in his life is quite going exactly the way he thinks it should. So he's traveling to Jerusalem, and on his way, he's completely rejected by a Samaritan village. It's maybe not surprising, but it's certainly not encouraging. In this case, he does, you know, tell the disciples, no, you cannot go back and retaliate against the Samaritan village. So that's good. But his disciples do want to bring down fire and destroy the place. So he's got management and ego issues to deal with, if you want to put it into, you know, more corporate languages. And then they meet some people on the road who think they might want to follow Jesus. But, you know, each person has something that he needs to take care of first. And this is where Jesus' responses are abrupt and they don't seem very nice. In the end, he actually says that they aren't fit for the kingdom of God. And this is the part where I struggle, because I don't want Jesus to be indifferent or even annoyed by these day-to-day parts of life that are presented here as distractions. I don't want to think of Jesus telling a grieving family member to leave the body of his deceased father, or telling someone that he can't even say goodbye to his family. I mean, even Elijah allowed Elisha to say goodbye to his family and help the transition to his new life from that first reading, from the first part of this episode. I know that Jesus is set on a specific course. I know he understands what is happening. But I don't want to read texts where Jesus seems callous and his responses here seem heartless and harsh. But again, I can see Jesus' side of it too. Some of his advice is purely practical. You know, life on the road is hard. There's no home. It's hard travel. There's sleeping on the ground. You're getting rejected by entire villages like the one in today's example. And in a certain sense, seeing Jesus this way reminds me that he was just as human as he was divine. And that is a comfort to me because, you know, Jesus has moods. So, hey, my moods must be okay too. But it also shows the divine part of him too, when we look at this incident in the larger scope of his ministry as a whole. And we'll do that as soon as we take a quick break. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Again, we were talking about the gospel reading this week from the Gospel of Luke, and my struggling with this text because I don't always like to see Jesus as grumpy or harsh or callous, and I struggle because I see both sides of it. On the one hand, I don't want Jesus to be like this, but on the other hand, I'm like, I'm comforted because Jesus was human and Jesus experienced human emotions just like we all do. And so it's a good reminder that Jesus did go through those bad days. Jesus had moods, but he was also Jesus. There was that divine part of him. And we have to look at this incident in the larger scope of his ministry as a whole. Now in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's what's called the Synoptic Gospels. John is a little bit different. So in these Gospels, when Jesus starts his journey towards Jerusalem, it's a definite turning point in his ministry. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus only makes one trip to Jerusalem, and that is the journey where he heads towards his inevitable death. So Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, and not even rejection by this village is enough to make him seek retribution or retaliation. Instead, he rebukes the disciples, and then his would-be followers. The trip to Jerusalem is the most important thing Jesus will ever do in his ministry. It doesn't negate or diminish all of his teachings, his healings, interactions, but this is the journey and the part of his ministry that literally changes the world. It changes history, it changes religion, and it's all based on the promises of God. Jesus is feeling the urgency of his last journey and the burdens that lay before him. The dead whom Jesus hopes to raise are those who need the good news of God's realm, not a final resting place within the earth. And the seed that the one who plows the earth will soon sow is none other than the life-giving word of God. This journey will concern the immense and pressing life and death matters, and Jesus makes this point clear with his sharp replies. So this is the hard part about following Jesus, about following where God leads us, because sometimes sacrifices and hard choices have to be made. And at this point in Jesus' ministry, there isn't a lot of room for distractions. This is what Jesus is trying to tell all these would-be followers with his what seem like less than tactful replies. Which brings us to the so what. Where does this text leave us? What are we to do with Jesus' words and actions in this gospel text from Luke? The irony I see in this is that in ministry, distractions happen all of the time. It wouldn't be stretching to say that 75% or more of my life when I was in the parish was just dealing with day-to-day distractions of the unexpected. And yet those distractions were the ministry. You know, when you're trying to get something specific done and someone comes to your office and needs to talk about something, you feel distracted, but at the same time, you know that you are doing ministry by speaking with this person, by sharing God's love with this person. And so it's helpful to look back at that text from Galatians where Paul reminds us that for freedom, Christ set us free. In the gospel text, Jesus has his face set toward Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he makes the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. He gives us the greatest gift any of us has ever been given through his death and resurrection. And in his letter to the Galatians, Paul reminds us that we have been set free from the burden of guilt and slavery, and we are now free to share our very selves with others in response to this gift. Jesus couldn't be distracted from his path, and thank goodness. But because of his sacrifice and his gift, we have been set free to continue his ministry, to go out into the world and do what we can to share the gift that we have been given, and to actually be distracted by our brothers and sisters who are in need of hearing Christ's promises and the gifts that we've been given in his death and resurrection, who are in need of feeling God's love for them as beloved children of God. And so while this text might not be my favorite because of how Jesus responds, I do have others, you know, I have others that rub me the wrong way also, so I do have texts that, bug me. But in my wrestling with this text, and this is the key, the texts that bug you, there's probably a reason that they bug you. And so you have to wrestle with those texts a little bit more than some of the other texts. The texts that are like, oh, yay, I love this text, they don't necessarily make you think all the time. But the ones that you have to wrestle with can help you to come to terms with a few things. So in this text, Jesus might not be responding in a way that I necessarily appreciate. I wouldn't want Jesus to say those things to me. But he's responding in ways that are true to his ministry at the time. And we are reminded that the work that he did, the work that resulted in our being freed from sin and death, is the bigger picture to keep in mind. We're also reminded that following Christ requires a certain amount of sacrifice on the part of those who are doing the following, on the part of ourselves. The work that has been done for us by Christ means that we are now freed to continue his ministry. We're freed to live by the fruits of the Spirit and respond to our brothers and sisters with joy, love, peace, etc. Whether you take those fruits of the Spirit as a whole or study each of them individually as part of your discipline and your spirituality, you can explore how each changes and deepens your relationship with God as well as your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not a bad foundation to work from, and it could certainly help us to remember these fruits of the Spirit on days when work is driving us crazy. You know, when you're not feeling patient, you're not feeling joy, maybe it's a good thing to go and be reminded of the fruits of the Spirit and why we have the fruits of the Spirit, why we are set free through Christ, because Christ did set his face toward Jerusalem and what would happen to them there. This story from Luke is one of the stories that I've come to think of as the snarky Jesus texts. And snarky is not how I want to see Jesus. He just seems mean, and he seems abrupt, and it always throws me until I think about it a little bit more. I want Jesus to be embodying of those fruits of the Spirit. I want Jesus to be patient and compassionate and caring and giving and basically all of the things that I'm not when I'm not in a good mood, so I don't know why I expect Jesus to be those things. But Jesus didn't come to meet every demand and expectation that every person placed on him. He came as God's Son so that we might have a different perspective on our relationship with God. In this story, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem on his way. Again, he's rejected. He meets these followers. And so we can see Jesus' side of it. We can see what's happening. It's helpful to understand what is going on. He's feeling the urgency of this last journey, the burdens that are before him. And again, this is the hard part about sometimes following Jesus. Jesus has spent years now teaching, healing, preaching, socializing with outcasts and sinners. But all of that has led him to this inevitable journey toward Jerusalem. And now it's time for his ministry to come to its conclusions, and distractions at this point aren't helpful. The parish administrator in one of my churches had a sign on her desk, and it said, "I wonder if we ever give God a headache." And I often wonder this about myself, especially when it comes to following God's call. You know, I spoke about it before, but I tried really hard to ignore that call, to ignore God. From ages about 15 to about 26 when I finally went to seminary, I did my darndest to ignore God's call. And I had all kinds of excuses, like those people on the road. Yes, I want to follow you, Jesus, but I've got this other stuff going on. Some of those excuses were valid. Some of them were completely ridiculous. But they were all excuses for why I couldn't and absolutely was not going to go to seminary. Thank you very much. It was me saying, yes, I want to follow you, Jesus. Sign me up. Oh, wait. Oh, you want me to do what? yeah, I just remembered. I have something to do. I can't go with you right now. Call me back in a week. And maybe that's why this text affects me so much, because I can hear Jesus speaking to me in it, reminding me that following him means making certain sacrifices. And it's not always about me and what I want at this exact moment. It's about doing God's ministry. It's about sharing God's love. And so in that text from Galatians, Paul reminds us that for freedom, Christ set us free. But Paul is talking about another kind of freedom that is given to us by Jesus. In the gospel text, Jesus has his face set toward Jerusalem, and we know that when he gets there, he will make that ultimate sacrifice. So thank goodness he couldn't be distracted from his path, because his sacrifices and his gift means that we have been set free to continue our own ministry, to continue his ministry, to continue sharing God's love, to continue seeking out our brothers and sisters and sharing God's love with them. And so this might not be my favorite text because of Jesus's supposed snarkiness in my own mind, but I do understand where it's coming from. Thank goodness that Jesus doesn't let anything distract him from his journey to Jerusalem. He maintains his focus on ministry. He maintains his direction towards Jerusalem and what happens to him there and the promises that gives to me so that I might depend on the love and promises of God. We can celebrate and we can remember that we are then set free to continue Jesus' ministry. We are set free from the things of the world to do God's work in the world. We're set free to continue Jesus' ministry and spread the love and promises of God everywhere we go and to everyone we meet. And that's actually all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. Really hope you'll join us again next time. Remember that you can find all of the Golden State Media Concept podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download all of our podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. You can follow us on social media at Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Google+, or everywhere. So thank you again for joining me, and remember that you are a beloved child of God.